Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. I'm joined by Andy Kelly from the Liverpool Echo, a man who I'm sure is feeling loads more relaxed now the transfer window's closed.
Yeah, I mean, it was a busy summer, wasn't it?
Yes.
I think it was a good summer, though,
yeah.
In the end.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, now it's almost like people are bored with actually getting back to football. But that's the best thing about the international break.
That's the exact opposite for me, but yeah, go on. Yeah.
No, exactly. Well, I'm that way as well, because I think... Sometimes, I mean, we can tell by the numbers we're reading stuff on the Echo site and all that sort of stuff and the interest we get that obviously the transfer window now is almost bigger than games. Yeah. Well, it is bigger than games.
No, absolutely.
And that's a bit mad. Mm. And for me, the good thing about the international break is it just gets you ready. I really want to see the Reds.
Yeah, no, completely. In your experience, obviously, how long have you been at the Echo now? Ballpark.
18 years, something like that.
So, I mean, obviously the transfer window, as we know, it hasn't existed for that length of time. But yeah. Is this for you the craziest it's been? Not just in terms of like the business done, because they put about busy transfer windows in the past, more in terms of how the reaction from the fan base has been to the transfers?
Yeah, but we're living in a social media age, isn't it? Everything's changed, well, as you know.
Yes.
And
I would have no job.
No, to be honest, then there's been obviously an explosion of interest. People like yourself and everyone around that type of coverage of the club. And in the vast majority of ways, it's massively positive. You know, it's people who are getting interested in the club, who can interact with other fans and all those sorts of things. It used to be, I mean, I should say I was doing news for 15 of those 18 years on the Echo. It's the last three I've been with sports and football and the Reds. And I mean, certainly in the 3 years, I mean, it's just exponentially. I think this summer was just crazy because everything changed. I mean, Klopp said a few weeks before that, you know, if Neymar goes, everything changes.
Yeah.
And I think it changed before that in terms of the level of interest, but the Neymar deal changed everything in terms of the numbers, didn't it?
Yeah.
And so the transfer window now, you can even see Klopp's even spoken about it, hasn't he? He says, you know, he said after Arsenal, you know, about the next few days and said, I'm not going to enjoy them, but I know you all are.
Yeah.
And I think it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? It's fantastic interest. It's people. It's exciting. We should never take for granted how, you know, good it is for young fans to see new talent arrive at the club. I think the only other side of the coin for me is that sometimes we don't appreciate what we've already got here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. It is very much the new shiny thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a tough balance, isn't it? Because I think anyone who watches Liverpool and watches them intently, as you know, most Liverpool fans do. There were clear issues that we felt needed to be addressed, and unfortunately, until they disprove that on the pitch, which unfortunately takes a full season, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's another summer and it's the same old thing. You know, there's going to be some fear, I guess, lingering fear over what Liverpool maybe didn't do in the window so much as what they did.
Yeah, the interesting thing about this window is it leaves you in a situation where I've had this myself the last couple of days where I've been thinking about the window and obviously I'm coming back into work and thinking, what am I going to think about this window in terms of what I'm going to share with people in the paper on the site? And for the most part, I think it was a very good window in the end.
Yeah.
But for all that, and I think that, as you say, we'll only know with hindsight as to how good it was.
Yeah.
Because there's there's issues. You think, okay, we needed to address the left back issue. We've got Andy Robertson in.
Yeah.
Early signs, terrific, both for us and of course for Scotland the other night. But we haven't seen him tested defensively yet, and we know that to a certain extent that's not going to be as we know him.
Yeah.
His forte. So there will be time to seize, and maybe in the next month or so, where there's going to be people going, we spent 10 million on Andy Robertson from Hull and he's not good enough.
It's got to be, if anyone's going to criticise him, it's always relegated Hull, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And I think if you're going to look at it in the round, I think you're going to just have to accept that, you know, he does need to improve in some areas. I think everyone who's seen him regularly knows that. So there's going to have to be a little bit of patience on that position. It's not as if he's going to be playing every game by the looks of it anyway.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the big looming sword of Damocles over the whole window is centre-back, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I got sick of how many times I shouted out in the office, is Van with a big V or a small V in the summer, do you know what I mean? And I should have known by the end, I'm not sure I still know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he obviously was the terrible start to the window in terms of what Liverpool did.
Yeah.
And there was still that hope right up to the last day that he could be the brilliant end to the window, and it didn't happen.
Can I ask you on that? Because obviously that was very much the feeling, wasn't it? The logic follows, I mean, I'm saying from the outside looking in, I'm not saying that the Echo journalists are bang on the inside, but you guys are the professionals in this way. It felt like Liverpool didn't go for a second choice because there was a lingering feeling that Van Dijk was possible. Is that us reading between the lines, or were we right to be hopeful of this getting across the line still?
I think we were right to be hopeful, but the other side of it, and I think we're probably still right to be hopeful going forward if we move towards January, end of the season. But I think I went up to Melwood before the start of the window, just as the window was starting, and had a chat. And the vibe from the club was always that, and this was the message really that wanted to be seen to be coming from Michael Edwards as well. And it was that they weren't going to accept second best.
Yeah.
That Michael Edwards wanted to deliver Jurgen Klopp's number one choices.
Yeah.
And that's not giving any secrets away to anyone, because everyone will have seen by the way Liverpool acted all window that number ones, they wanted number one choices. Now, as a journalist, I suppose, that isn't ideal, because if those number ones aren't happening, you'd like to be able to report on number twos and number threes.
Well, that's the thing, and there was a distinct lack of any of that stuff, really. Yeah. Credible stuff all summer long.
Absolutely. But as a supporter, which, you know, I'm sure everyone watching this is, unless they're very strange, I don't think that's a bad thing overall, in that I think for too many windows, and there are very obvious examples which you'll have covered here in great detail, Paul, but the too many windows were accepted second best.
Yeah.
And the vibe always from Jurgen Klopp was, there is a very small pool of players who improve this team. Now, there'll be supporters out there going, I can think of 10 centre-halves who are better than... And they'll almost always probably say Dejan Lovren.
Yeah, absolutely.
Personally, I think if Dejan Lovren plays at his best, there are very few centre-halves better than him.
Yeah.
His problem is consistency, and we haven't seen that, have we? So, but consistency is a big part of the game if you want to be challenging for a league title. So it seemed fairly obvious to me that Liverpool, the whole way along, felt there was an opportunity for Van Dijk. You've done the hard bit in persuading, clearly, the player wanted to come.
Yeah.
But this window saw a couple of different things, didn't it? It saw clubs, and we've been on both ends of it, say no.
Yeah.
You've signed a contract, and you're not going anywhere. Now, in terms of the Van Dijk situation, there's been a lot of discussion about mistakes that Liverpool might have made, in terms of making public that sort of Van Dijk situation, and did that kill the transfer? I don't think any of us, and I don't think Liverpool could even tell you if it did or not.
Sure,
but I think there is a scenario within the club, I think, where they feel whatever had happened, Southampton at this stage didn't want to do business with Liverpool, because quite frankly, they were sick of the sight of Liverpool.
Yeah,
and you can understand that. I mean, fans out there must, if they've got anything about them, be able to empathise with other supporters of other clubs.
Yeah,
you know, and if you put yourself in the situation of a Southampton supporter, yes, I'm getting plenty of money out of Liverpool. Personally, I'd rather see 2 or 3 years of these very good players we've developed or bought in relatively cheaply and are doing really well for us. And I mean, obviously with Oxlade, we've ended up buying a Southampton player one step along the road. But
maybe that's the way to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a scenario I feared that Southampton would be prepared to say Van Dijk doesn't want to stay here at St Mary's, but we will let him go, but we're not letting him go to Liverpool.
Yeah.
And that, you know, they would have said that, pick two figures out of the air, roughly in the area, that 60 million from Chelsea was going to be better than 70 million for Liverpool.
Yeah.
Now, you might say you're cutting off your nose, spite your face there, but it's the message that it sends to their fan base.
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, you can't put a value on that, but you might say, given the silly numbers involved now, that, you know, 5 or 10 million difference, we'd rather do business with them.
Yeah.
Because it's just getting silly with you now.
I agree, but going back to the Michael Edwards stuff on this though, is he also cutting off his nose to spite his face? Do you think there might be a touch of hubris there on his part of, if he's because he is trying to prove himself and improve himself in this role, that in being so steadfast in that number one targets thing, that, you know, he's made a rod for his own back in some regards?
Again, I think hindsight's going to tell us, but it's tough. I mean, you can definitely argue that.
Yeah.
But is it a case where Klopp, as far as we know, and everything he says, and, you know, generally with our manager, what he says, you know, you can generally take as what he means.
Yeah.
He's always seemed to be, when they introduced Michael Edwards to us all up at Melwood, and Klopp was in the room, Mike Gordon was on the phone, and we had a chat about Michael Edwards' new position. I was up there with Piercy, and you know, it was very clear that Jurgen Klopp was very happy of Michael Edwards becoming sporting director at Liverpool. Yeah. Now, there's two ways of looking at that. If you know, Michael Edwards is, for those who castigate him, is seen as the geek that did good.
Yeah.
Isn't he? The guy with the stats and the analytics.
The man with the laptop.
The man with the laptop who's sending his messages to FSG and everything else. But basically, he was a man with lots of good information that the club ownership appreciated and felt was useful. He's been promoted into a significant role for someone who didn't have a real career in the game. And you can tell that's something that I think he still feels he needs to prove, in the sense that if you look at other big clubs, they've got these sporting directors who perhaps have had significant roles in the game, and everyone knows who those are. So I think to answer your question, I think he does feel he's got something to prove, but I don't think he would take that as far along as saying, well, I'm only going to accept number ones.
Yeah.
I think that message has come to him directly from Jurgen Klopp, and I think that's why Klopp is happy with Michael Edwards, in the sense that, let's make no bones about it, Jurgen Klopp was directing Liverpool's transfer business this summer.
Mm-hmm.
He might not have been the one on the phone, you know, putting in offer one, putting in offer two, sorting out possible, you know, getting the offer faxed over, all those sorts of things. But it was Klopp's hand across everything.
Yeah.
It was Klopp's will, okay?
Yeah.
And here's something we didn't hear mentioned all. I don't think I wrote the words transfer committee once all summer. Did you mention it?
No.
There you go. I mean, and that hung like a sort of, you know, this sort of all-consuming obsession with fans for a while. And they're still there. Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
But
it's just FSG now, isn't it?
But everyone knows that what's happening is being done because of Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah. Where did you stand on the? because there was a little inkling toward the back end of the window when Jürgen's interviewed and he talks about everyone's got bosses. And I think that was the only thing that maybe put a little doubt into people's minds about how much control Jürgen has, because that was almost the first admission that, and it was around the Coutinho stuff, of saying it's not, the final decision's maybe not down to him on that one.
Yeah, and it was interesting because some people wrote that as a possible rift between FSG and the manager in terms of, I think the thought was Klopp's view was, if he doesn't want to play for me, then go.
Yeah.
And FSG had been very clear with their statement that he's not going anywhere. I think there was more nuance to it than that. I think how I read that was Klopp saying, look, he was basically referring people back to what the ownership had said without him having to get involved again. Yeah. And he was basically saying, look, why do you need me to say it again for the nth time? Because here's a very clear statement from the people who pay me saying he's going nowhere.
Yeah.
So even if I want him to out the door, on, you know, straight to John Lennon and off to Barca, it's not happening. So we don't need to have this conversation again.
Yeah.
That was my take on it. Whether there is, I think the Coutinho situation has hurt Klopp.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's a man who wears his heart on his sleeve, and for him, I think what he's trying to create at Liverpool is a gang. Yeah. You know, we've all seen that happen successfully at clubs. Ferguson, we know, was brilliant at it.
Yeah.
And that whole situation, for me, with Klopp, I'm pretty sure inside he feels Coutinho has let him down.
Yeah.
And maybe somewhere he feels, well, okay then, if you don't want to be part of my gang, off you go.
Yeah, yeah. I think, I guess that's going to be the interesting challenge for him now going forward, is how does he, can he reconcile that himself how does he then bring Phil Coutinho back in if he is a guy who is quite emotional in that regard? It's going to be an interesting one to see.
It is, but I think equally for you, for me, for everybody who goes to the stadium, in that I'm sure a lot of supporters feel a little bit hurt.
Yeah.
And I was listening to the lads talk about this on a podcast yesterday, and Neil Jones, one of my colleagues, was, I thought, made some good points about it's time for football fans to give up on any illusion that footballers are loyal to a club. Yeah. And there's no point throwing back quotes at him when he signed his new contract in front of club media and saying, oh yeah, I want to be here for a few years and everything else. You know, what else is he meant to say in that situation?
Well, yeah, it's like someone talking about how good the kit looks at a kit launch.
Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, horrendous. He's never going to wear this for a year. At least they don't have 2-year deals anymore. You know, yeah, I can get rid of this in 12 months, it'll be fine. Yeah. No, it's a very good point.
It has to, you know, he has to say that. I mean, what's he going to say? What's he going to say? Well, listen, I've signed the deal, but if there's anything coming in from Spain, you know, and a decent offer, I'm hoping they'll let me go.
Liverpool, the best club in the world. I mean, they're not. At the moment, it's clearly Barcelona. And if they were to come calling, like, you can just see the LFC-TV people just turning the camera off and just padding to one side. Yeah, absolutely.
I'd say the interesting thing is, I think if Liverpool, if we got through our group in Europe and drew Barcelona, I think most of us would go into that game with a certain confidence. Mm. Am I being daft in thinking that?
No, I think so. And I think, for a start, I think he'd have a point to prove, but also I think the team would therefore have a point to prove to him. And equally, I just think they're good against good teams as well.
Yeah, which helps. That's what we do, isn't it?
Can I just ask you, just going back to the statement from FSG then, on Coutinho, because we've asked this a lot, and I think there was still very much, I think, that, again, that lingering doubt as to the statement and as to Liverpool's, you know, how steadfast they were going to be on that statement. It felt like, even though, like Chris Bascombe was even got to the point where he's like, I can't keep asking the club the same question and getting the same answer. People don't understand what definitive means. Is part of the reason why they've been so steadfast because we doubted that they could remain steadfast, if that makes sense?
And I think because people have seen, not just Liverpool, but other football clubs say many things and mean other things. I mean, looking at it from the other side of the coin, Roma were talking very clearly that, you know, we're not a supermarket.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
We're not going to be selling our players, even though everyone knew they were in financial fair play problems, and the exact thing they did have to do was sell all their players, and they sold quite a few of them.
Yeah.
And of course, Salah came to Liverpool, and clearly that looks like a terrific bit of business.
Absolutely.
So people don't trust football clubs. We even heard a little thing from Jürgen in his last press conference, I think it was, where he said, and I can't remember what he was referring to, but he said, it was probably Coutinho, I think, but he said, sometimes I don't like to lie, but I've got to, and he virtually admitted it.
Yeah.
And so when someone who I think the vast majority of supporters trust intrinsically, like Klopp, essentially admits that there are times for the overall benefit of the club that he's got to tell a little porky.
Oh yeah.
Because then, yeah, if you look at it, look at the Keita situation. The club were very clear that we've tried, it's not happening.
Yeah.
And you know, we've stepped away from active pursuit of it.
Yeah.
And obviously in the background they were trying to come up with something that can work for both parties here. I mean, for me, that had echoes of an old style transfer by the end.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the sense that nobody.
Well,
nobody,
if it hadn't been for someone tracking it on Snapchat or something, no one would have known he was in the country.
Yeah.
And then it was done.
It was great, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because we'd almost moved. Everybody had moved on, yeah. And so it had both. It was a very modern transfer in the sense that we were talking about him for weeks and months, and then it had the old school of, he's here.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I think that was Bank Holiday Monday, wasn't it? And
what's a bank holiday?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, the entire Echo Sports department had popped out on a bank holiday, sunny bank holiday, to grab a sarnie. I won't tell you which establishment. And we were sat in the sunshine for literally 5 minutes, grabbing a sarnie, and Piercy's phone pinged, and it was, oh my God, we've signed Keita. And there was like three or four people looked at each other in abject horror. I looked at me rotisserie chicken sub. And I don't know if everyone will have seen the scene in Only Fools and Horses where Del Boy and Rodney are Batman and Robin,
yeah,
sort of sprinting up the road. Well, that was pretty much the Echo Sports desk as that news came in.
Yeah.
And obviously, it was a bit of a, you know, a 10-minute panic, but I think it was brilliant for the club.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was brilliant the way they did it. And I know some people are saying, I've heard a couple of criticisms on A, obviously we didn't get it done, we need him this season, and two, that, you know, if you're going to be paying more, you should be, you know, paying that more than the release clause, you should be getting him now. But I don't agree with either of those scenarios. I think we had a situation where you can either accept the reality that they're not going to sell him to us this year and go and get the next best thing, just have him coming in next season. And I don't know if Tranmere will be the first preseason game again next season. Mm-hmm. But if I was them, and the World Cup might mess this up, but I'd be selling tickets now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? if that's Naby Keita's
face on the first
game for Liverpool, which it could well be if he's you know, in early enough. I mean, the excitement when he arrives, I think, is going to be palpable.
Yeah.
And I think he's a really, really exciting signing.
I completely agree. I just want to bring it back to the start of the summer, just to start to wrap it up. There's an article that comes out from Ian Doyle.
Yeah.
Where it talks about the
I'm glad you brought this up, actually.
Yeah, I thought it was worth bringing up because if there's one bit of ammunition I've seen thrown around about Liverpool's transfer window, it's that Liverpool had 200 million to spend. They didn't spend 200 million, therefore it's a failure. Now, Ian writes this. It's an opinion piece. The maths in it are... It's less than perfect mathematics within the article.
I don't think it's too bad. I'll take issue with you on that.
Okay,
go on.
But I mean, where do you stand on this? I mean, because this is inevitably, as I say, I've seen this reference, this 200 million reference, and it was as though it was fed to the Echo by the club that this was the budget. Yeah. And yet, to my knowledge, and I might be wrong, there might be other articles where it's elsewhere. I made a video sort of semi-jokingly about a flight of fancy about what you could do if you had 200 million, but. Yeah. I don't recall seeing this ever as like a, this is exactly the budget definitively Liverpool have got.
And the piece that Ian wrote, Ian has a column in the Echo on a Sunday. That piece was written as Ian's opinion for his column.
Yeah.
And obviously his opinion is based on his knowledge of the club, having worked, mentioned that, you know, I've only worked football for 3 years. Ian's been working football for over 20.
Yeah.
You know, he's very experienced. And he's Ian's sort of like the cynic round the sports desk at the Echo, you know. And he wrote that because this is where I take issue with you on the maths, but the maths of it was very simple.
Yeah.
He expected that Liverpool would bring in, we actually did a podcast talking about this, about how much Liverpool would raise from sales.
Yeah.
And certainly my view was that Daniel Sturridge wouldn't be at Liverpool this season, for instance.
Agreed.
And we put a 30 million on him, 30 million on Sacco, maybe another 10 on Markovic, and so on and so forth. And you get to 100 million to spend. Mm-hmm. And then there's the knowledge that Liverpool hadn't spent the money they should have spent in January, as we all know. And that there was extra TV money, and that there'd generally been a budget of 30 to 40 million most years anyway. Which Klopp hadn't spent, as we know, he had a positive net spend for quite a while. So there had to be money available.
Yeah.
There was a clear vibe from Liverpool that money was available. But no one ever briefed the Echo and said, we've got 200 million to spend. Absolutely not. But Liverpool tried to spend more than 200 million.
Yeah.
What did we end up spending? If you count Keita, about 120, was it 120, 130?
Something like that, yeah.
Well, there was two bids for Thomas Lemar. That takes you up to that. Yeah. Now, of course, then you've got what money did we bring in? And I think that was, off the top of my head, it was obviously 26 for Saka was the guts of it. But
I think net, ultimately, they've probably spent about around 40 million.
I think if you count the Keita money, it's a bit more than that. But there obviously was a Van Dijk deal that they hoped to do right to the very last minute. And there was a Thomas Lemar deal. Now, Lemar, I think, was a case of spending the Coutinho money before you got it.
Yeah.
We saw that with Everton this summer. They bought everybody before, not everybody because they just keep buying, didn't they? But they bought a lot of their players before they had the Lukaku money because that's the clever thing to do.
Yeah.
And I think, for me, Lemar was a case of potentially trying to spend some Coutinho money before next summer when... If he goes to Barca next summer, as we probably expect he would.
Better to replace him now than once you know that money's
exactly.
there.
Exactly. So I mean, I think Ian wasn't far off with his assessment.
Yeah.
But it was never, if you look at the top of the piece, as you say, it's clearly marked as an opinion piece. I think sometimes when the Echo does something like that, maybe we have to be a little bit more aware that there's this assumption that someone, that John Henry's rung up the Echo Sports desk and said, can you just get out there that we've got 200 million to spend?
Can I just decide, oh, joking aside,
yeah.
Does that, have you ever had direct contact from Liverpool's owners on any, on any kind of stuff?
I mean, they would, I haven't. They would tend, the way we're set up, they would tend to speak with James anyway.
Mm-hmm.
James has a good line of communication with Tom Werner, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Liverpool are based just around the corner in Chapel Street from where we are. We have a very good relationship with the club, but we're not averse to criticise, because you can't, people just don't take you seriously if yeah. you, if everything you write is a sort of, aren't Liverpool, to give you an example and to use Ian again, the night that they had to issue the apology over Van Dijk was another crazy night in the office. And Ian got home, actually, and he was our Liverpool writer for the day. James was on holiday. And I rang him and we had a chat about it, and he said, I'm on my way. And he lives in St. Helens Inn, so he's a bit of a wool, but he was coming back in the East Lancs. and I said to him, we need an opinion piece on this. And you know, he said, yeah, I know, I'm on it. And he wrote a very, very damning opinion piece about how this had transpired. And I think his line was that it was one of the most embarrassing moments in a proud 125-year history for the club. Now, that sort of thing gets noticed.
Yeah.
You know, it's been quoted back to me by several people at the club since. But there was no other way of describing that situation. Yeah. That's what it was. And it's written. And the way we work with the club is, I think they expect that we give them a fair hearing.
Yeah.
And for that, we obviously get some privileged, access, I suppose, is maybe one way of describing it. But basically, we have a fair dealing relationship with them, in that we can.
This is not a surprising thing, though, because this is the local newspaper of every team has this degree of connection, by and large, with the local football.
Exactly. I mean, our readership, obviously, they appreciate has a massive local base of support, and that local support, you know, the fact that we have that relationship is down entirely, not because they think, oh, the Echo's nice, they've got their own club channels and everything else, that it's because they appreciate the need for a certain amount of correct information to be shared with local supporters.
Do you think it's just tough because, as you say, I think there's maybe the distinction gets lost online these days between what opinion, rumour and actual news, because inevitably if you're getting them from the same website or you're getting it from the same browser, if nothing else, and I think that the waters are being muddied a bit by other online news outlets to some extent.
Well, there's no, when people publish something that's clearly wrong on the internet now, there's no sort of challenge really to it to say what you printed was total lies and nonsense. Everyone just moves on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And the remarkable thing for me is that those people who printed nonsense and lies and everything else, that people will still believe them the next time in the hope that they are. And you know, there's lots of fantastic information on social media, on the web and everything else. I think it's just for people to find the ones that they trust.
Yeah.
And the most important thing for us at the Echo is that that people, when they read our stuff, know that it's not, it's either branded as an opinion, as Ian's piece was, which is, I believe they'll spend this much. And I think Ian wasn't far away. I mean, I wrote a piece before the window saying Liverpool will break the transfer record three times this window. No.
Not chronologically, but yeah.
I could half claim that if you go with Salah broke it, because, you know, it's 36.9. That's what they said to the stock market. That's the right figure. Oxlade-Chamberlain was a level 35, wasn't it? And then if you counted Keita, you could almost claim it. But actually, I was wrong. There was an attempt to break it five times.
Yeah.
That's where they were at, the club. You know, these are real bids.
Yeah.
You know, there was no bid for Van Dijk for the very tiptoey way that the situation they found themselves in. But so there was money there to spend. I think they wanted to spend more. And will they regret not moving to that plan B with the centre back? I'm still hopeful that Klopp believes he's got enough there. I mean, I think Joe Gomez, I expect. Yeah. I was too busy watching Ben Woodburn to watch England on 21s last night, but I think he would have played centre half for England last night, did he?
International football.
It is, but he, I mean, certainly Trent was playing, so I'm assuming he took right back, which would assume that Joe Gomez got man of the match.
Yeah.
Now he's someone that we've seen play more at right back. But, you know, he's going to have a role to play potentially at centre back. And, you know, it might be a case of, can we get away with it there?
Yeah.
And in the process of trying to get away with it, maybe find a very good way forward. I mean, personally, I'd like to see more from the other centre back, whose name? Matip.
Matip.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because for me, a real classy player, but I want to see more leadership from him. And, you know, I think people have spoken about his lack of aggression and all that. But
I think you're right. I think if Liverpool are going to kick on, every player that's at the club has to get better at what they do, because that's the way football is and where the players progress. Yeah. Just one last question, though, because you mentioned the bids. The one other final criticism we've seen is that Liverpool were deliberately bidding on players that they knew they couldn't get, so that they could look as though they were prepared to spend the money without having to spend the money.
Yeah, I mean,
total bollocks?
Yeah, well, your words are not
mine. My words,
but the reason Liverpool, I mean, if you look at the other side of that coin, it's people were furious that Liverpool were hovering, set to, possibly might make bids.
Yeah.
And we're going, just make a frigging bid.
Yeah.
And the reason that you don't is that clubs don't like to be seen to make bids that aren't successful.
Yeah.
They don't overly like it coming out that they've made it. When there's an unsuccessful bid, it tends to come out from the club who've rejected it.
Yeah.
It doesn't tend to come out from the club who've made it and been rejected. And there's obvious reasons why that they don't like that.
Well, you don't tell people when you've asked a girl out and she said no.
Exactly. And plus it sends a message to some other possible targets that you can make bids at levels that are unsuccessful, which might make them doubt whether you can get them over the line if they come. I mean, that's something that will have to be interesting with Van Dijk and how he views the fact that, you know, he's said to Liverpool clearly, yes. He's handed in a transfer request. He's ostracised himself almost from his teammates.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was back training yesterday with them, wasn't he? But what's his view towards Liverpool now?
Yeah.
I've put myself in a pretty difficult situation and you didn't get it done.
Well, we saw it with Gareth Barry, didn't we? Years ago, was he very much went through the same process and was left high and dry by the club, which tainted his thinking towards it. So, no, I think you're right. It's interesting. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it would be exciting to see him, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, Andy, thanks very much for your time.
No bother, mate.
You're going to be joining us on the build-up show for Man City as well. And, of course, everyone wants more Andy Kelly and more from the Echo staff as well, having these interesting podcast discussions. Anfield Extra.
Yeah, we've got Anfield Extra, which is even more. Obviously, the app's up and running, so everyone is completely free. I think there's 25,000 nearly, I think, I've downloaded, and it's working really well. And Anfield Extra is just in our subscription service. It's in a little bit of transition itself. We're getting some new software in on it, which means that it's free at the moment while we get the new software put in. So I just say, have a look at some of the podcasts and stuff we do on there if you can't get enough Reds.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want some more, in addition to that, theredmentv.com, we've got our own subscription service. Of course, you should know this by now, but yeah, £5 a month for podcast, video content, etc., etc. The world of Liverpool is very well covered at the moment. Let's just have the Reds start proving it on the pitch, and then happy days all around. Andy, thanks very much.
No problem, mate.
Thanks for watching. See you all soon. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.